Yeah, my name is Stephen Sabinjong. I'm here to talk about moving our digital supply chain from monolithic to microservices. So over the past couple of years, we know our workflows have become fully software-defined, and as we're relying more and more on software, we're starting to encounter the same challenges that the software development community has been facing for years, such as agility and flexibility in deploying our systems. Because of this, we need to look at some of the patterns and trends that the development community has developed to address these problems in addressing our own. This cross-industry look has even become more important as the cloud is becoming a key component in how we receive, process, and distribute our content. So moving to the cloud is not easy. It's very difficult to forklift our current systems with all their complex interdependencies into the cloud. They need to be re-architected to take advantage of the advantages the cloud can offer, and microservices can help with that. Before we get into it, I did want to take a note that this conversation is not about scripting. Scripting is a big part of many media workflows, and I'm not going to advocate taking scripting out of your media workflows. It's really a discussion around the methods for building and extending software systems and applications and the patterns that we can use to do so. First, a little bit about myself. I'm a senior manager with On-Prem Solution Partners, and we're a Southern California-based media and entertainment consulting firm, founded in 2003 by four consulting industry leaders with a mission to provide the best services for the best clients with the best people. So we work with some of the most innovative companies in the world, including major studios, large broadcasters, leading consumer product groups, and financial services agencies across horizontal digital supply chain, data analytics, Salesforce, CRM, things like that. We partner with these companies to deploy and extend their systems, especially in complex media-rich environments, and have seen the challenges firsthand of moving from these monolithic systems to microservices. And finally, these consulting services, are augmented by our Innovation and Development Center located in Austin, Texas. The IDC excels in building custom software applications that support our clients' needs and business objectives. So let's look at a little bit of history. So if we think about all of our application patterns on a spectrum, all the way on the left is what we would call our monoliths. And these are your traditional software stack, your traditional software application development pattern. So with these applications, all the functions and capabilities are deployed as a single process occupying a single technology stack. So these applications often started out small, and over the years added on more and more functionality and complexity. With this complexity comes a difficulty in understanding all aspects of the application. So how did we react to that? We built teams structured around different tiers of our applications, such as web or business or data. And these their knowledge and influence on the application often ended at those boundaries. Some of the challenges with this architectural style, any application service change, even a small one, often requires the entire tier to be redeployed and retested. This is because all the different modules are very tightly bound together and tightly coupled, and any failure in one of them can actually affect the entire stack. Scaling with monolithic systems is also very challenging as well, and it's actually usually accomplished by just replicating that monolithic system over and over again in its entirety, and it's very inefficient, and some of the services that don't need to be replicated or scaled are scaled along with the main monolith. Because it's also so tightly coupled, it's really hard to reuse subcomponents of each of a different application in another one. So, for example, over here we have our CMS and we have our DAM. So if we wanted to transcode something and the transcode service was integrated into the DAM, we wouldn't necessarily have the CMS leverage directly the transcode capability of the DAM. There would be some interactions that would have to happen before that. So beneath each of these silos, each system requires a base set of hardware, storage, servers, security, all kinds of things, which makes it very challenging to share those infrastructures and be very flexible. Finally, these systems don't natively want to be tied together. To handle this complicated interactions, we've actually implemented enterprise service buses across the top of multiple monolithic systems. And these service buses handle the routing, the mapping, the orchestration we need to abstract these siloed applications into services. And those ESBs are often complicated in themselves. So this is a very high-level example, but you can see all those tiers that I was talking about. So looking at some of our supply chain challenges, the lack of agility in a monolithic application can often compound our difficulties. Our content factories need to constantly react to constant changing business requirements, and we're constantly encountering new output formats, new packaging formats, new destinations, and the lack of agility really challenges us in delivering these things with very short cycle times. Using SaaS services can actually help a lot, but it has to be done right. SaaS partners are sometimes integrated very similar to monoliths, and we face the potential of getting locked into a vendor just as we're locked into our monolithic applications. Also, as our SaaS vendors grow and change, we're actually governed by their changing capabilities. We have to ask, is the SaaS vendor that I chose capable of handling all my requirements? Or does the quality and consistency and reliability change based on the given SaaS vendor for a specific input or output that I'm trying to process through my factory? Duplicate content is a huge problem. So the most obvious is exact duplicates floating around through our environment in different locations. But a more challenging and complicated use case is storing lower quality renditions and output files throughout the environment. Those could just be recreated from our source elements, and we wouldn't have to store them over and over and over again. And then with all these renditions floating around, how do we know which ones go together and which files to use? Can we easily determine which one of those five 1080p files we should use as our source? Do we know which ones are compatible in timing between audio, video, subtitle elements, and dub cards? So the lack of answers to some of these questions often results in a lot of rework that's done. We have to bring all those elements into a suite. We have to retime and resync everything up and create another output when they might have been timed together to begin with. All right, so now that we've looked at our monoliths and our industry challenges, I want to talk about a little bit about microservices and how they're different. So microservices are a recent architectural style. It is an architectural style for developing software applications as a suite of small, independently deployable, modular services, each running a unique process and communicating through a well-defined, lightweight mechanism to serve a business goal. So that's a lot of stuff that they do. So if we go back to our spectrum, we had our monoliths all the way over on the left, so microservices would be all the way over onto the right. So we can dive into this a little bit further. With this style, all the business processes are broken out into independent applications, and they have specific goals for each of them. The services work together very cohesively, yet they remain loosely coupled and fully independent of each other. This loose coupling enables the service to be independently replaceable and independently upgradable. You can actually work on one microservice and have no impact on any of the other microservices in the ecosystem. So, microservice. How big is micro? Micro is a word that can mean a lot of things. So, if you ask 50 developers out there, how big should my microservice be? You'll get 55 different answers and 3 or 4 arguments. So one thing microservices is not a line count of code. Some would explain it as it's big enough to serve a meaningful business process, yet small enough that the developers working on these microservices understand them in their entirety. But there's also some practical sizing aspects we need to look at. Microservices can't be too small. We can't get to nano services or anything like that because it can overcomplicate development, overcomplicate distribution, and it would be very hard to see the forest from outside the trees at that point. So basically, it depends. Some of the benefits of this architecture, we talked a little bit about modularity. They're very modular by design. Built software building blocks, Legos, they all come together and fit together to make something bigger than themselves. With this modularity, we actually have an increased opportunity to scale independently of all the other microservices in the ecosystem. So if we have, because they're cloud native, if a worker or processing node, we can set that single node, that single service, to scale very aggressively and elastically in the cloud, while maybe our management services are set not to scale at all, or maybe just very, very lightly. This modularity also leads to a high chance of reuse. The loose coupling and single business purpose of each microservice enables the services to be reused repeatedly across your environment. So basically, if you need that function or a piece of that function, you can use those microservices, and we don't need to tie multiple monolithic systems together to get there. There's also a high level of evolutionary freedom in this design caused by the modularity as well. So because the services are fully independent, development on your system can actually be parallelized with a small autonomous team tackling one or more microservices, and they have the freedom to develop and deploy and rework their services independently. And these small two pizza-sized teams can actually fully own one or more microservices across your environment. So along those same lines, individual evolutionary speeds. Microservices can evolve at different speeds. You can have one microservices that is evolving very quickly and having deployments weekly or daily or even hourly, while other services may be more stable or may have less changing business requirements, and they have long cycles for development, deployment, and release, which gives a lot of opportunity to be agile where you need to be agile, but not agile where you don't need to be agile. And finally, there's a lot of flexibility in environmental decisions as well. So the technology decisions can be made on a per-service basis instead of a per-application basis. So decisions to change or swap out or rework the technology stack can be made based on what's right for that particular service at that particular time, and you can take into account all technology changes that have come, the newest and greatest thing that maybe your entire system can't use, but it's perfect for this one microservice. So let's look at this compared to our monolith. So you can see on the right we have on the left we have our microservice driven applications. So both of them have an application core. Our digital asset management system is integrated in somewhat of a hybrid approach, and our CMS is a little bit more of a fully native microservice application. So to prove a point, if we want to look at our digital asset management system and change out the database for the workflow engine, which is something that we may want to do, because everything is interdependently reliant on each other, you'd have to spend a long time analyzing how changing that workflow application DB would affect all the other systems, and there would be a lot of retesting, a lot of unsure deployments, a couple rollbacks probably in the process. Looking over at our microservices, if we want to change that workflow DB out, it's extremely easy. All we have to do is take that database, we can extract it out, we can change to NoSQL, we can change to XML flat file. I don't know why you would do that, but you could if you wanted to. But all we would have to be concerned about is that single service. If it's accepting the correct inputs and providing the correct outputs, that's essentially the end of our testing, and we can deploy that service and keep it on. So let's take a look at some of the challenges that we looked at earlier and how microservices could benefit those. And this is all pie in the sky. You could probably do this, and it would take some work, but here's some potential solutions to some of those challenges. So with our constantly changing business requirements, we could create a microservice to support outputs and serviceability given an input file. So you can provide that service an input file and can tell you all the different formats that it can create, or it could be used as a check to say, hey, can I create this file, this required output, given the input file? If I submit a Flash file, can I create that ProRes? Probably not. or if I'm trying to create an MPEG-4 file, what would be the best source file for me to use? I would probably use a ProRes or something like that. Those rules on how to process those files can all be held inside a microservice, and it could be called and respond back with the required information. We can also use a microservice as a smart dispatcher for transcoding. So it could take a generic transcode request and determine the appropriate transcoder to route it to, given a set of parameters. So this will actually abstract the transcode selection from the request. It abstracts the act of transcoding from requesting a transcode. With that, our applications may not even need to know what transcoders were integrated with. We can even swap out those transcoders, change those transcoders, remove them at any time, and because that microservice handles all those requests and that routing, it would be the only thing that needs to know that those transcoders have been changed out or swapped. Same thing could be said about packaging. So a specific microservice could be created with logic to dispatch and queue specific requests to packaging services. Then we would have destination-specific packaging services, which would gather all the required information, pull the files, resources, and assemble that package. Now, think about how low risk adding a new packaging format would become in this type of environment. So you're delivering to your main distribution partner every day with this package. It's every day. This is your bread and butter. You wouldn't want an infrequent distribution to come in, be deployed into your system, and screw everything up. Microservices are independent to a point where you could build a new packager, deploy it into your production environment, and actually test in your production environment, because there's virtually no way the addition of that new packager will affect anything in your ecosystem. So destinations. With destinations, again, you can have a profile service. You can give that profile service, I want to deliver to this vendor or this process or this endpoint. And it can give me everything I need to know. It can give me the location, the transfer type, the account credentials, bandwidth restrictions, anything like that. And then a specific microservice dispatcher can queue and manage and manage the priorities on your queue. So integrating with SaaS services is where microservices become incredibly powerful. So think about having a service to determine which SaaS partner to process your content through, given a particular input or output. You can actually use the best partner to deliver that file based on these parameters. Do you want it fast and cheap? Do you want it extremely high quality and slow? Do you want a balance between the two? You could just give it those parameters and it would process that file. You can also have a microservice that records how you're using your SaaS vendors. And you could discover trends, verify billing, and ensure that those vendors are meeting their SLA. And again, profile services. Profiles are very important. We can have a service that specifically tells other services in your ecosystem how to actually communicate with your SaaS vendor. It could define the endpoints, define the content and content handoff, and define the SLAs that you'll be looking for. Duplicate content's really interesting. The obvious first step is a microservice to determine if the file is being uploaded as a duplicate. It can run an MD5 and provide back locations on where that duplicate file is in your system. For deduping lower quality renditions, imagine if a new product comes out that can take a video essence fingerprint. You could build a microservice to call that essence service whenever you're ingesting content, and the fingerprint can be compared to what you already have in the system. And a different microservice can come and present a decision point based on is that already there? And it can present match, size, quality, etc. So do you have a rendition already in your system, or are you uploading a new source? You can make those decisions. And the last challenge is file choice. So we can build a collection management system. And this system could solely track which files are known to work together, accounting for timing and resolution, languages, etc. Across different formats. And it could be used as an input for any other format, any other transcoding service or packaging service or delivery service. So moving to microservices is not very easy. Some of the there are some potential challenges. Some services don't actually natively fit well into a microservice environment, and it takes time. Some would work better as hybrids, as we showed our digital asset management system earlier. It's also very complicated. It takes, large systems can cause information gaps across the team, and you have to be willing to manage a distributed system. Also, organizational change is hard. A prerequisite to moving to a microservice-based architecture is having a mature, constant delivery, constant integration structure in place in your organization. It's an investment. You have to invest in becoming a technology company in addition to being a media company. Microservice architectures are not a set-it-forget-it kind of architecture like a monolith would be. The system constantly evolves and changes, and you need to be willing to invest in it and have it grow. There's also a few cost trade-offs between microservices and monoliths. Monoliths are sometimes a little bit less expensive to stand up in the beginning, but microservices temper that with the ability to iterate and have lower long-term maintenance costs. And to get started, you could always start with that monolith, go with a hybrid environment, and then start to peel off services. Finally, partitioning is art and science. You must have architects and developers who not only understand the technology at a very high level, but also has organizational and business awareness. Microservices are built on business processes. You need to understand the business processes in order to create them. Okay, so conclusions. You should look at microservices. Our applications aren't all black and white or left and right. We're all in the middle somewhere, and I would encourage us to all find out where our applications land on the spectrum, and when developing and extending these applications, to move as far right as possible. Especially if you're maintaining a larger environment, you have long deployment times of 2 to 3 months, they're error prone and sometimes rollback is required, or your business requires elasticity and scale, especially if you have big peaks and valleys, or you're trying to extend a highly complicated environment, especially into the cloud. Thank you very much. That is all that I have. Do we have any time for questions? We're right on time.
Any questions? All right.
Thank you.
Steve, thank you so much. That was great.